morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of the Lenawee County Mission. For the next few minutes, you'll hear how God is reaching out to those staying at the mission and how he's reaching out to the greater church community. Now here's Lenawee County Mission's Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
All right. Good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh, this Palm Sunday edition of Word Made Flesh. We've been spending a lot of time throughout this whole week doing an in-depth study of just this one day, which is the first day of Holy Week. And sometimes I think we take Palm Sunday for granted. It's just some sort of a historical event of Jesus' triumphal entry into the city of Jerusalem. But we've kind of learned a little more about what really transpired that day. So before we begin, how about we take a look at Mark's Gospel, chapter 11. We'll read verses 1 through 11. Which is our biblical text for this event. Russ, you want to read for us?
As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' tell him, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here shortly.' They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, 'What are you doing, untying that colt?' They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest!' Jesus entered Jerusalem and went to the temple. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12."
Okay, thank you. All right, we can either begin with some initial thoughts on the scripture text, or maybe we could share with our listening audience some of the historical, contextual criticisms which we've been studying over the past week. Kind of put this in perspective. Anybody have any thoughts or comments? Questions even?
Well, he was going to Jerusalem, which was the, you know, the major city of the domination system, which was Rome. And he was going with and for the oppressed. I mean, the oppressed people, you know, economically exploited people, everyone that was being taken advantage of by the system, both Rome and the Jewish system.
Okay, you mentioned domination system. That's that is a term we looked at this week. Anybody want to maybe share with our our listeners kind of the three components that we identified that define a domination system? Do you have that written down? Okay, we talked about political oppression, right? Kind of where we have a few people that are in power over the masses. We talked about a second component being economic exploitation, kind of where the few having power over the many benefit, right, on the backs of the many. We threw out an example like taxation, right? And then we said a third component is when you have a political oppression, economic exploitation that is justified by a religious perspective. Right? Religious justification. We recognize that we see that when the empire of Rome, Roman imperialism, because Romans, it's not like they were not religious, they were quite religious themselves, they practice paganism, right? And so they had a religious justification of their own, right, military might that oppressed many, as well as their advancement of the few being in power on the backs of the many through economic exploitation, right? Whether that could be taxation or securing properties, expanding their empire, etc., etc. right? And usually that was established through the sword, right? We also talked about how this type of system was present within the temple, right? With the religiosity of the temple, that you had the few, meaning maybe like the religious elite within Judaism, the Pharisees, Sadducees, Sanhedrin, who kind of control the many through 613 rules, right? I think. We also know that there is an economic exploitation that, yes, even within the temple tax, taxation to the many by the few to advance the temple religion. And that, obviously, you had a temple religion that justified all that. So, as you were saying, Russ, is when we look at Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem, we know at that time, when Jesus is entering Jerusalem, Jerusalem and the temple converge. There's a convergence. Jerusalem is under Roman occupation, so we have the Roman domination system there. And obviously, in Jerusalem is where the temple is, so we have the temple domination system. They're both there. All right? And along the way, as Jesus has crossed through Jericho and heading up to the Mount of Olives, we looked at he's still calling people to follow him. And so then we came to an understanding that to follow Jesus and his way of the kingdom, his way of love, right, necessitates the fact that he's headed into Jerusalem because he's going to confront these domination systems. Right. Is that a nice synoptic review of what you're alluding to there? Mark, you were going to say something.
Well, yeah, the Romans were coming in from one side of the city, more than likely like in a military-type parade, and here's Jesus coming in the other side of the city on a donkey, which is like a symbol of peace from the other side of the city. And that's where you talked about them conversion. They're going overseas to make sure they get the taxes for Caesar and all this and that.
You know, I tell you what.
Overseas to Passover.
Can we have someone read from Zechariah? I mean, in the little pericope that Russ read from Mark's Gospel, chapter 11, there is a citation of the quote from the prophet Zechariah. All right, so can I have somebody read Zechariah? Now, in the pericope, we just have Zechariah 9:9. But can we read 9:9 and 9:10?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Rejoice greatly, O people of Zion. Shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious, yet he is humble, riding on a donkey, even on a donkey's colt. I will remove the battle chariots from Israel and the war horses from Jerusalem, and I will destroy all the weapons used in battle. Your king will bring peace to the nations. His realm will stretch from sea to sea and from the Euphrates River to the ends of the earth.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. All right, so what do you hear in that little couple of verses from Zechariah?
Your king is coming.
To bring peace over the land.
What was that?
To bring peace over the land.
All right, so there's this invitation that when this king comes riding into Zion, Jerusalem, the city, the holy city, the very presence of God, peace is going to be established. Now, we know that Jesus probably knew Scripture pretty well. He's on the Mount of Olives. He says, Justin, go down into the city, and you're going to find a donkey. Bring it to me. We could either start looking at this supernatural quality of Jesus that he just knows that there's somebody, I mean, odds are somebody in there had a donkey, but it's got to be this young one, right? This virgin, never been ridden before, donkey, right? or we could appreciate that Jesus is intentional about setting up this demonstration for confrontation. Zechariah.
What do we call him? Theologically, way of love.
Yeah, there's peace is going to enter. Now, if this becomes somewhat of a subversive move on behalf of this long-haired rabbi from Galilee, because the minute he wants to fulfill Zechariah, he's making a declaration. If Zechariah is anticipating the presence of peace from this Messiah who rides the donkey, all right, that must mean what exists currently?
Chaos.
Okay. Yeah, non-peace. Violence, anything that's antithetical or opposite of peace. Much like the domination systems. Right? So there's this declaration that is very subversive, right? Just by riding the donkey. Now, obviously, those who are participating in his parade start cutting down these palm branches and waving them. Now, in Hebrew understanding, we would appreciate that this is a declaration of liberation. Liberation from what?
Oppression.
Oppression. Exploitation. Right? Even whether that be the imperial oppression and exploitation or the religious oppression and exploitation. Right? This is this is kind of like a demonstration taking place, a protest, so to speak, right? And we will see as we go into next week, when we see following Mark through Holy Week, that it doesn't end there. Right? We know he gets off that donkey, and it says here that it's getting a little dark. It's too late to go to the temple today. I'll go there tomorrow, and he does. He's going to start turning over the money changers' tables. All right? Talk about confrontation. All right? And Mark, so why do you think Jesus is choosing to do this demonstration as he's entering Jerusalem, or any of you? We kind of talked about this. You alluded
being
to
being obedient to the Lord's truly human intent for creation.
I think that's consistent with his entire life, mission, and ministry. But I also think there's, as you said, there's this other parade taking place. We know that hundreds of thousands of believers in Judaism would converge upon Jerusalem for Passover. Right? This is an occupied territory, and it's occupied by Rome. Geographically, it falls under the governance of Pontius Pilate. Pontius Pilate tended to live in Caesarea. Caesarea is over on the coast of the Mediterranean. So we get the idea that there's this other parade taking place to where Pontius Pilate on his war horse with his military banners, and you got the marching of soldiers and the sound of clapping leather and clanging swords and all this type of stuff. There's these certain sounds and smells and this visual expression of great power. Right? So we have kind of the kingdom of Caesar versus the kingdom of Christ. Right? And so in kingdoms, we start recognizing, particularly for Mark, Jesus calls us to repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand, and kingdom represents some sort of politics. The kingdom of Caesar also represents a politics, but it has a theology to it. The theology of Caesar. Right? That somebody like the emperor is considered the son of God. Right? So there's this juxtaposition. You have this politics of power and might. Right. We talked about kind of like a spirituality of competition, and on the other side of the city comes in this long-haired Jewish rabbi riding a donkey. You have this emperor of power on a mighty steed, and you have this humble prophet on a donkey. Well, thank you, gentlemen, for joining us on this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. May God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you always.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of the Lenawee County Mission. We hope you'll join us again next Sunday morning. In the meantime, if you'd like to know more about the programs we offer at the Lenawee County Mission, or if you'd like to know about volunteer opportunities we have available, please go to our website at lcmission.org or call us at 265-4019.